Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Does that shock you that I pushed the button immediately?
It sure did.
Well, you got in. How can I help you?
Thank you. I've got a couple questions, actually. I've got my arthritis acting up again, and I don't remember what you told me to do for it.
Well, hold on. So, have we ever talked about it before?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay, well, describe your arthritis to me.
Okay, doctor said I had rheumatoid and osteoarthritis, and it's in my ankles, like, really, really bad, and they're swelling up, and so I've got a lot of inflammation, and
can you walk?
Know. I can walk, yeah, but it's very painful, and I went and tried to do some exercises, did Zumba the other day, like crazy, and it really hurt it.
So you had a major flare-up from doing the Zumba?
Amen.
Okay, all right, let's just tackle it piece by piece. Number one, first things first, I always want to make sure that a person's very well hydrated, and there's lots of ways to go about this. So if you're used to drinking Cokes or tea or lots of coffee. Well, do you have any tremors or twitches of any kind in your body?
No.
Any shakes?
Mm-mm.
Okay,
no.
Just check. Can you sleep at night?
No.
Okay, then you've got to take a long, hard look at the coffee. I mean, I read a study this morning that showed that when you have caffeine from coffee, sometimes that's enough just to break your sleep to pieces where you can't rest. And so if I walk it backwards, what I want to say is, probably a full 90 to maybe 95% of all repairs to your ankles, that's going to take place when you're in the deep delta wave sleep.
Okay, that makes sense, because I'm not getting none of that.
And so let me go off on a different take here. If you're getting up to urinate multiple times a night, then I've got to assume that you're eating something that just doesn't agree with you. One of the
No, it's just usually once.
Okay, so if you told me that you're consuming stevia to sweeten beverages or food, I would say that I would blame that on the poor sleep at night, but you're not doing that, so.
I'm trying to, you know, cut the sugar with the coffee, which I'm going to have to quit, and I'm making some right now. But, okay, no coffee.
Well, what if you switch? Well, the creamer is just full of chemicals anyway. I'm not trying to judge you for that. It's just the
I
way
do. I drink a lot of it.
Okay. Well, maybe we can find a creamer of some kind that doesn't have all the chemical residue in it.
True.
Because the bottom line is, when a person has osteoarthritis and rheumatoid, they're basically being poisoned. And so from my experience, the top foods that I find that cause allergic reactions and lead to the triggering of autoimmunity, which means your body's attacking your ankles right now. You don't want that. And so it's going to be usually corn, wheat, sugar, dairy. Those are the big ones right there.
Hate corn. Do not consume corn. Wheat. I like the rye breads and stuff, the European style. That's what I like to eat.
I'm not necessarily trying to say that's
bad. I don't eat wheat bread.
But when someone, rye is a close cousin of wheat.
It is
about
close.
The same,
yes,
it's about
that's
the same
what I was
thing.
Ask you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there may be some degree of cross-reactivity, meaning if you eat rye, that can trigger an immune response where your immune system says, oh, my goodness, what is this right here?
Okay, my cousin just brought me a bunch of that, so that might have been
The rye protein settles around your ankle, your immune system will say, oh, my goodness, there's a foreign protein here. Let's attack it. And so your immune system goes hog wild.
Okay,
so with rheumatoid arthritis, there are studies that demonstrate that if a person will fast, that all of a sudden it becomes better.
Well, I'm still trying to do the 10-4, fasting.
You mean where you eat your first meal at 10, your next one at 4, and you fast the rest of the time?
Correct.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, does that help? Is that a game changer for you?
It does. Oh, it's helped me a lot in many, many ways, It's actually strengthened my body a whole bunch.
If I had to just choose off the top of my head what I would take nutritionally, if I had rheumatoid and osteoarthritis, I'd say I might put at the top of the list an herb called hemidecimus.
Okay, that one I haven't heard from you yet.
Okay. And the second one that I might use, a fat-soluble vitamin known as vitamin
K2. Oh, I've got
K3. Well, it's probably really K2.
Oh, is K2.
It's probably minoquinone 4 and minoquinone 7, which is vitamin K2. There's probably K3. I don't know that I could give you an intelligent response to what that would be, because I just don't know the answer to it. I can always look it up, though. And so
it's
you
K2,
want,
it says overlooked.
And so what happens is, as a general rule, whether it's arthritis or any pain anywhere in the body, it doesn't matter who you are, if you have chronic inflammation of an area, then your body's response is to calcify it. And I know this doesn't sound fair, but it's your body's way of trying to mitigate all the inflammation. So what if a person has massive inflammation in their kidneys? Oh, my word, they're going to have kidney stones.
Right.
Have you ever heard of people having kidney stones so big they have to surgically cut
yes,
them open?
I've
and
had
remove...
a friend.
Oh,
yeah.
It's horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my enemy.
Yeah.
So if the inflammation builds up in the artery, what you would have is you'd have calcification of the arteries, which, personally, I think the most brilliant, simple test of all time that medicine has to offer for the condition of the heart and the arteries is called the calcium scoring test. And let's just say they charge $50 to do the test, which I think is pretty close to it. Who knows? Maybe somebody charges $60 now for it. It really doesn't matter. But the calcium scoring test...
I spell scoring.
S-C-O-R-I-N-G, scoring, like you're getting a score on a test.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And so the calcium scoring test, they do like a two-minute CAT scan. For all I know, maybe it's just 30 seconds, but they do a CAT scan of the heart, but it is the most accurate technology to tell me what the health of the arteries are. So if your doctor is just screaming at you because your LDL cholesterol is at 200 and they're going, you've got to be on these cholesterol-lowering drugs right now. It's the whole focus of our practice. And they say, we're going to show you, we're going to do a calcium...
No, cholesterol's good.
Well, but if they do a calcium scoring test...
It may be different.
And the number comes back... Yeah, it can be. But if the number comes back zero, even though a person may have high cholesterol, that means the cholesterol is not participating at all at clogging your arteries, which is a beautiful thing. And so when you see a calcium scoring test go from zero to like 1,000, that means we got some trouble. And so calcium is what your body does to any chronic inflammation. And so whether it's fibromyalgia or rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or osteoarthritis, or chronic pain in the lower back, because calcium, it makes everything stiff wherever it accumulates.
Yeah.
And so the two, here's what you need. You've got to have minerals to help oppose calcium. And so if you ask me what is the most important thing to rebuild the bones in a human body nutritionally, well, I'd say number one, raw calcium. I don't believe in the other forms of calcium. I know the top-selling supplement in the universe is Citracal and Oscal, but I think that's wrongly placed. And so when you look at the studies, the more calcium that a woman takes, the more strokes she has and the more heart attacks. It stiffens everything.
Yeah, you told me not to take that.
Okay, well, we're on the same page, but vitamin K2 and usually magnesium are probably
going to... Yeah, I've got that with the MSM.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've got that.
The other day, I was watching a YouTube video I just kind of came across. I was waiting for a patient to show up, and it was about a woman from Australia that was in her 70s, and they showed a picture of her, and I said, there's no way. I mean, she might be 50, but she's not 72. I kind of had the conversation with myself. But they interviewed her on a Australian morning program. Maybe
okay,
like,
that's how I want to be.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's called Good Morning Australia or Good Morning Outback. I don't know. But when I watched the interview, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is the real deal. And they said she's going to reveal her secret for longevity. And this, I don't know, maybe it was a two-minute interview, maybe three. It wasn't long at all, which I kind of like those because I get to the punchline real quick. But she said, listen, the only way that I look as good as I look right now and I have kept my body in good working order is I don't eat sugar. There's no sugar in my life. And
yeah,
so
I have
now,
very little, very, very, very little sugar, except for like with that creamer. I mean, that's got too much, way too much. So I know that.
And so here's the other possibility: you don't have to eat sugar. All you really have to do is just be stressed, because when you're stressed, your body produces a chemical, the hormone of fear, called cortisol.
Right.
And cortisol basically breaks down your muscles and your bones and converts it directly into sugar. So technically, you don't even have to eat sugar. Okay. All you have to be is just stressed.
You got me.
Well, and I'm not trying to, quote, get you. I'm just trying to throw out some different ideas so we can kind of come to terms with, okay, what's going to resolve this?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure I've got the cortisol tummy to prove it.
Okay, so, yeah, that's one thing that cortisol does if a person listening hasn't heard of that, which cortisol is very famous for telling your body to deposit fat around your midsection and under no circumstances let go of it. It just kind of hangs on to it. But cortisol is not your friend. It's your enemy. I mean, long term.
Understood.
Okay, so magnesium plays a role in helping the body lower cortisol. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Vitamin D3 and vitamin K2, they also are role players
in
cortisol.
Those.
Now, what I want to do is I want to share something with you, but I want to kind of flesh it out, and I hope it makes sense, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Probably 5 or 6 months ago, I kind of was in the mode of studying the COVID-19 or the coronavirus, and so I was just trying to devour any new information I get my hands on. And I came across this article. I want to say Joanne sent it to me, but it really confirmed the other ones that I had already read, which I appreciate her so much for doing that. But in this article, it said the highest correlation to people that succumb to the coronavirus, 6 times more than any other factor, were people that tested positive for tuberculosis. And so what I did is I looked it up, and I found out, and it totally shocked me, there are 2 billion people on the planet currently that test positive for TB.
Wow.
Just truly, truly mind-boggling. So I looked up what are the stats in America? And it was like 15.2 million people in America have tuberculosis. Well, I was kind of shocked at that. Now,
that was a long time ago.
One of my favorite movie characters, if I can say that, of all time, would be Doc Holliday. And I can still see in my mind, here he is. He's got this pale complexion. He's got beads of sweat all over his face, and he's coughing. Well, supposedly Doc Holliday had tuberculosis. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Well, that was Wyatt Earp's friend. But anyway.
Right.
But you just think, okay. And so one of the greatest ways to depress the immune system is a chronic low-grade infection. I mean, personally, I see these things all the time, and I try to tell people, we've got to get you over this low-grade infection. And they'll bring their blood work in, and the blood work shows where the neutrophils are high and the lymphocytes are low. And I'm saying, what did your doctor say about this? Well, they didn't say anything. Well, what do they say about your low white blood cell count or your low platelets? And they said, nothing. But they focused on the high cholesterol. Well, cholesterol always goes up when a human being has a low-grade infection.
Hmm.
It's your body's way of trying to absorb it. So if your cholesterol is even a little bit elevated, I know you said it earlier it's not, that's probably your body's natural response to try to protect you. But in this reading about the tuberculosis, they showed the 6 times more higher death rate than with any other factor was those that test positive for tuberculosis. And so I started reading about that. And I came across this article that was saying in the country of Ireland, historically, what they've always used for fertilizer for the soil. So if they had sheep or they had goats or they had cows and horses or they had crops, what they would do is they would just dredge off the coast of Ireland all the seaweed and all the sea vegetables, and they would just dry it out, grind it up, and sprinkle it. But it costs money to do that. And so some farmers said, the heck with this. We're not spending all the money on that seaweed fertilizer. We're just going to use rock phosphate like everybody else does. That would be the bags of, you know, hard fertilizer you buy at the store when you want to fertilize your lawn. But what they showed was, they showed the most interesting study that I think I've come across. They showed they could predict exactly which people were going to succumb to TB or tuberculosis and those that never had an issue with it. And so I said, man, this is interesting. What is it saying? And it showed that when they used the seaweed as the fertilizer for their crops, people didn't get TB. And when they did not use seaweed and they just used rock phosphate, these were all the people that tested positive and had these tuberculosis infections, which I'm telling you right now, a tuberculosis infection, that is bad. Bad for the body.
My grandmother had TB, I think, if I remember correctly, over in Germany.
I totally believe you. I think I had 6 family members that got the blessing of going to tuberculosis sanitariums and staying for a while. Mm-hmm. That was back in the 1920s, I guess. That was technically before I was born, in case you're curious. But anyway.
I know.
So here's my main point. It is the strength of the soil and the food and the terrain that's going to help you resist disease. And so if you have rheumatoid and osteoarthritis, you just got to let me say it my way, baby. You've got some mineral deficiencies. And the quicker that we address those, you know, you can go to the store and you can actually buy what's called seaweed salad. I think it tastes great. It's almost like
the seaweed, like the little chipped things. But,
there you go.
That tastes nasty.
thanks for saying that. That's very encouraging.
Sorry.
That's probably what everybody else tells me also. But to make a long story short, you've got to have minerals in your body. I mean, even the Lord told Adam, you will return to the dust from whence you were made. And so, you know, when someone's buried in the earth, what do they say? From dust to dust, right?
Right.
Well, he's going to return to the minerals. The minerals return to the soil. And so if these people that don't get tuberculosis in Ireland, it's because they're eating food or animals that are raised on seaweed-fertilized soil. And so my main point is, and this is what I want you to understand as well as every other listener, you have got to nourish all the cells of your body. What do your cells do when they're lacking, say, magnesium or potassium or selenium or manganese, all those things? Personally, I always think there's a manganese deficiency when the ankles are inflamed. Now, I can't prove that to you. If you could do a simple screening test called a hair analysis, but I'm willing to bet that you're low in minerals because that's what puts out the fire of inflammation or part of it. The other thing that I have to convince you of is you need good, wholesome fat. And so if you eat the fat that comes from deep ocean fish like halibut or sardines or...
I like salmon.
Salmon, well, that counts. Mm-hmm. But fish oil might be a superfood supplement that you might take.
I've got some krill oil.
Well, that'd be one source of a good fatty acid that your body needs. And so if you look at...
once a day.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's good. That means you care about yourself. But even if I made a list of what are some of the greatest superfood supplements of all time, well, if I went back to 1925, well, just about every mother that lived in North America gave their kids cod liver oil just to keep them free from infection.
You haven't done that.
Well, right. It was probably half rotten back then anyway. Probably tasted gross. But the other superfood supplement that's been around forever is just kelp.
Yeah, kelp is the seafood anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And that's what they would take from the dredge from the ocean and sprinkle on the, you know, the hay. I meant to say grass. You know what I meant.
It turned to hay.
it did turn to hay. And so when it comes to rheumatoid arthritis, and you've got to find a way to tap into, am I giving my body what it needs? And so I'm going to suggest to you that we've got to work the fat-soluble vitamins here a little bit. The most important ones off the top of my head are going to be vitamin D3 and vitamin K2. And you've got to be open-minded about this.
I take both of those already.
Well, I know, but here's where I want you to be open-minded. Mm-hmm. I need you to think about the Goldilocks just right amount. And so study after study showing now that if your vitamin D levels are, say, let's say 34 in a blood test, well, there's nothing you can do to prevent bone loss when that's 34. Now, does that mean that if it was 68, you could keep your bones? Yeah, that's what the studies are showing. Now, this is me personally. In 30 years, I have not seen one individual overdose on vitamin D3.
Okay.
Not one. I know that they broadcast, I mean, I had a woman call me yesterday saying, I'm scared about overdosing on vitamin A. I'm going, ma'am, you're not going to, because this vitamin A comes from beets and sweet potatoes. You're not going to read about somebody rushed to the ER with a vitamin A overdose because they ate an avocado or a pickled beet or a sweet potato at Roadhouse with butter all over it. That just doesn't happen. Right?
Not that I know of.
And so when you get these things from a food source, so we've got to repair your leaky gut. There's just no way around it. If you've got osteoarthritis and you've got rheumatoid, then you've got a leaky gut. If we do not repair that, you're not going to really move the needle the way that you want. And so I'm trying to convince you to consume conditioning agents now.
Yes.
So, just like I talked about the seaweed salad that you can get in the refrigerated section of the store, it's just a bag of pickled seaweed. I think the stuff tastes great, and I feel good when I eat it. But I also feel
sauerkraut.
Really... Yeah, exactly. Do you eat sauerkraut?
I love sauerkraut.
Then good. How often do you eat it?
No, at least once a week.
Well, how about let's do it once, twice a day, and see what happens. You got nothing to lose.
Okay.
If you just take a fork, stick it in there, pull some out like hay on a fork, and shove it in your mouth and eat it. But those are going to contain a lot of the prebiotics and the conditioning agents. And I probably should stress this point more, but unless you can take that inner lining of your gut and seal it up where it doesn't leak, you can't stop rheumatoid from taking place. Because all that undigested food is going right through the lining of the gut, and it's not supposed to. It's settling in your ankles, and your immune system is doing its job. It's trying to get rid of all the debris. But in the meantime, it's damaging your joints. I mean, I really have given you a short course today on how to overcome autoimmunity. You've got to find out what is a triggering food. So I hear what you're telling me, but I'm very open-minded, because the bottom line is I want to invest in you where you can actually heal, and that way the last 30 years of your life are like great, wonderful, productive years where you can love everybody and help your fellow man and encourage them.
That's right. That's what I need to be doing.
So these things I've told you are very, very accurate.
Okay. How do you spell that first herb that you were telling me about, the hem something or the other?
Okay, I'm going to try to do it off the top
of my head. I didn't
have a
pin yet.
Hemidecimus. H-E-M-I. Like, does that thing have a hemi?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't heard that commercial, have you?
Yeah.
So it's called hemidecimus. And I want to say decimus. Yeah, let me try to just spell it. Hemi. H-E-M-I, decimus, D-E-S, D-E-S-I-M-U-S, I think.
Okay,
that's pretty close. It sounds like sounds like a Roman gladiator's name. My name is Hemidecimus Maximus. Doesn't
it? All right, Hemidecimus. Yes, it does.
The Maximus
like one
is
one of those Greek gods or something there?
Well, I said a Roman gladiator. There may be a Greek god named Decimus. I haven't heard of him, though.
I don't recall.
I did read about Icarus the other day, though.
Icarus? What's that?
Yeah. Well, he was the one that he made wings and covered them with wax, and he was warned, do not fly too close to the sun.
Oh.
And if you fly too close to the sun, guess what's going to happen? The heat will melt the wax, and you will come crashing back down to the earth, which is what he did. You play with fire.
I don't think I heard that in my Greek mythology classes.
Well, I have forgotten 99% of what I learned. Anyway, I've very much enjoyed to you. I've given you a start. There's no way I can cover the whole topic, but the most important thing is we have to identify what is the primary area of weakness in your body. And then we have to go after that. You have to run toward it. Okay?
Appreciate you.
You're welcome. I appreciate you. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line open. The number is 903-586-5257. I'm sorry. I'm trying to push the button. It won't work. Okay. Are you there? This is Dr.
Yes,
Morgan.
Yes, I am, Dr. Morgan.
Hey, thanks for your patience. I pushed the button like 10 times and it just wouldn't take, so I think
we got a faulty button.
It's quite all right, Dr. Morgan.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
First, I want you to know I just really appreciate you and your show. I brought a few of my friends there, and you've helped us all.
I have?
So,
oh, that's great.
You have.
Well, you're so kind to me. Thank you for making my day.
No, I understand, and I don't want to be a... I don't want to take too much of your time. I do want to ask you a real quick question. My left ear is clogged up, and it's starting to hurt. Now, I want you to know what I did is I went to... I had some concerns with my ear because it's been sort of clogged up, but the doctor had suggested that I take and use... Well, they found a fungus in the ear, and he suggested to put in clotrimazole. It's in a liquid form, and that has really irritated my ear.
Oh, no doubt.
And he told me to take for 3 weeks, and I had to stop because now I don't have any vertigo, and
good.
It's just this pressure behind the ear that's really causing some problems.
Well,
what do you suggest, sir?
All right. I'm going to tell you a very, very quick story from this week, and it's going to sound weird and bizarre, but I'm going to tell you anyway, okay?
Okay.
A very, very nice father brought his 15-year-old son to see me, and he was telling me, my son doesn't really communicate exactly how he feels, but I'm thinking to myself, well, neither does any other 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, so that's right.
That's par for the course. But he says that everything is shaking and moving when he looks at anything. So if he looks at, say, a picture on the wall, it's constantly jiggling, shaking, moving.
Hmm.
It's just like back and forth all the time. And I'm going, well, okay. that's weird. And so so I'm thinking, okay, man, what is this? And so what I have to tell myself sometimes is I say, Roy, just don't overthink it, son. Just examine him and see if you can figure it out. And so I went through every system of the body. I couldn't find anything wrong until I got to his eustachian tubes. And so he had a totally clogged left eustachian tube. And so I told the father, I said, let me show you how to do this in case you want to do it at home. I said, let's go ahead and release the eustachian tube and open it up. And so I put my hand inside the head, and I just grabbed the ear and gave a little tug, and it made the most loud double, quadruple popping sound like I broke a tube before and a half. And so the kid sat up, and he looked at the picture again. He said, oh, my goodness, everything's not moving now. And I said, oh, good. But anyway, he had a low-grade infection in his ear.
Oh.
And most likely, that's what you've got also. So the number one purpose of earwax is to trap and bind toxic infection in the ear. And so if you've got a lot of wax that's backed up, we got to find a way to get that out. Now, I know they told you 3 weeks on this right here, but I'm going to give you 15 seconds to see if we can make the pain go away, okay? And here's how I want to do that. You take a small dropper bottle.
Yep.
And the small dropper bottle, you'll just take and put half white distilled vinegar and half alcohol.
Okay.
Not apple cider vinegar, but white distilled vinegar. And just lay on your side. Let's just say it's your left ear. Which ear is it?
Left.
There was a 50-50 chance I could get it wrong.
No, you didn't.
Hey, I'll flip a coin next time. But in your left ear, lay on your right side. And just
One half white distilled vinegar.
Yeah, and half alcohol.
And half alcohol, okay.
Yeah, and just lay on your... As long as there's not a hole in your eardrum, you should be good to go, buddy.
No, I don't have...
And so, okay, good. And so if you'll just put the vinegar alcohol solution, about 5 drops in your ear, do that every 15 minutes and see if the pain doesn't start to go away. Now, I am not making a medical claim on the radio where everybody can hear. I'm not telling you that kills infection. I'll let you decide within yourself what it does.
Okay.
The next thing that I want you to consider, and, you know, I always believe in striking while the iron's hot. So if there's something going on, we need to find a way to get through this.
Yes.
Now, do you even know what the eustachian tube is?
I do.
Okay, that's
The specialist I went to, he actually put a scope up in my nose.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he looked at it. Yeah. Well, and he looked throughout the... He was very thorough, and I can't say I'm disappointed in him. My body's just reacting to what he had recommended to remove
exactly. All you can do is accept what a doctor tells you through faith and give it a go, but it just hasn't worked out for you, right?
No.
Okay, no judgment at all. It's just the way it is.
No, right.
And so if something doesn't work, we don't dwell on that. We just move on. Okay, what's our most positive play? And so what I'm telling you is, if you could maybe go onto YouTube and watch a video on how to release the eustachian tube, that may cause drainage to take place. And that's one of the main purposes of the eustachian tube, is to make sure you don't get this back pressure or gunky toxic infection in your ear. So understanding what a eustachian tube does may be very critical to you as far as your healing. And so if you will use the half white vinegar and half alcohol and put the 5 drops every 15 minutes until the pain goes away, you may tell me that you're a very happy man. Number next, if you take just a little bit of soapy water or get one of those ear washes that you can get at Walmart or the store, you might try that just to get all the wax out. But the next thing, I'm just going to tell you what I believe. You can question my intelligence. It's fine. But I am such... Thank you. I am such a believer that I would use what's called a beeswax ear candle.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm planning on using a beeswax ear candle on myself today, just as in my own experiment. I'll try not to set my head on fire. But anyway, but if you'll do a beeswax ear candle, open it up after you're through with it, and just look inside and tell me what came out of you. I think you're going to be shocked. Maybe even stunned in a good way. But we need to clean the ears. But I'm thinking that most likely you have a chronic low-grade infection. Now, unless they did a culture to prove that it was a fungus.
They had not.
Okay, then I do not know if it's exactly a fungus. I hear people tell me stories all day long about, like the doctor said, this is, you know, this is COVID-19 when it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But it's okay to question things, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think if you'll try these things right here and just set your mind that you're going to start candling your ear with a beeswax ear candle.
Okay.
Let's just start to do some deep, deep cleaning and draw all that debris out of the eustachian tube and your ear. And I think it's going to go really, really well for you today. I think you'll be a new man later today.
5 drops and then I can stop taking that other thing that stopped the fungus.
Well, I mean, I can't legally say that.
Well, no,
this is your call. No, it's fine. You can.
Well, it hurts more now than it did before I went to see him. The only thing I've been doing differently, but it might have started to ramp up before I went to see him because I asked him, how do I get the pressure? And he says, and this was a specialist and I really questioned it actually, but he said, the only thing I can think of is, he said this, the best way that I know of is you hold your breath and, push.
Yeah, but what do you do if the pressure won't release? I mean, I respect what you're telling me. You're saying I'm trying to kind of pop to equal.
Well, and
pressure.
I told him that doesn't work. It's never worked for me. It's a big yawn would work. Or why I know there's something like this is because when I'll be driving and I come down a long hill, the pressure drop, it all of a sudden my ear was releasing and I was like, okay, something's, and then I could hear better.
Wait a second. But, where is this long hill you're talking about?
Let's say between Tyler and Jacksonville. It's just, I'm going to say that.
Oh, you're talking about Mount Selman.
Well, doesn't have to be a really tall hill. I'm just sharing with you that sometimes while I'm driving, all of a sudden my ear pops. It's like, wow, that was good.
Yeah. Well, the only hill that's even meeting your criteria would be that long 1 mile hill at Mount Selman. Where you go down the valley and you come up to Lookout Mountain. I've only been that road, 10 zillion times?
It's a beautiful drive. But yes,
it is.
Sir.
I watched a deer go out in front of a small Honda CRV and the front end exploded when they made contact. I thought, oh my goodness, I hate that.
Yeah.
It was a small buck, too.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think if you'll at least try these, I think you're going to be very, very pleased.
Now, in the beeswax...
Ear candle? Yes.
I can just get it at a natural food store?
Well, where do you live?
I live east of Tyler, Texas.
Does that mean Tyler is the easiest location to drive to, or would it be long?
Probably, yes.
Okay. So drive into one of the health food stores today and just pick up some beeswax. Now, they have two varieties. They have one that's made of paraffin, and they have beeswax. But I'm telling you, I am so convinced that beeswax is the most superior substance to use. So that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep. And you said something about maybe a ear wash that I've never seen those. Is it like the... neti pots or
it's like a little bitty fluid filled mixture and it's just like an ear washing material, but you don't have to have that. You could take like a drop of Dawn dishwashing liquid and a little bit of water and just try to get some soapy water in your ear to help loosen up all the wax. And a lot of times if I do a candling of somebody's ear right after they do soapy water or they've been in a swim pool, you get all the gunk that comes out. So today,
well, Dr. Morgan, when he scoped not only through my nose but also into my ear, I was watching, and he also said, "Your ears are very clean." I said, "Well, I do clean them every day." Now,
well, let's keep an open mind here, because if your let's just say, for example, that your ears are very, very clean and there's nothing to see in there, why don't you just tell me what comes out of you once you candle them? Because you can take a pair of scissors in that last 4 or 5 inches of the candle. After you've done all you can do for 10 minutes, you'll cut it open. If you don't have a bunch of stuff that comes out of it, then I don't know what I'm talking about. But you could easily go to Drug Emporium today.
Yes. Yes, okay. Well, thank you so much, Doctor. I really appreciate you.
I think I'm going to be there around exactly 10:15 on the dot.
Maybe I'll see you there, sir.
Well, I'm going to be wearing shorts because it's supposed to be a heat wave today.
God bless you so much. I appreciate your show. I want you to talk to others.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Now, I read this morning, and it really meant something to me. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Man, that's beautiful. Then I found this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. "Don't be interested only in your own life, but care about the lives of others too." Isn't that beautiful? You know, what you think and how you think has everything to do with your health. By the way, this program is Health Essentials. I'm Dr. Roy Morgan. The phone number here at the station, if you want to call me and ask a question about your health, is 903-586-8114. So, just like the caller, he can't make this stuff up. There's something going on, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh my goodness. If putting a scope up my nose was a solution and it was really going to help me, I would be for it. But I sure don't want to do anything if I don't have to, right? Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much for your phone call today.
Thank you. Hey, quick question. I just wanted to know, testing and medication were natural things, of course, to help with psychosis.
To help with psychosis?
Yes.
What do you have in mind?
Schizophrenia. Bipolar.
Let me say it this way, and I'll make it sound very, very simplistic. There's something most likely the person's eating that's causing the... Let me start over here. Earlier this morning, I talked about the inner lining of the gut. And if that starts to break down, you can have what's called leaky gut syndrome.
Right.
Well, around the brain, you have what's called this thin layer called the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can start to break down just like the lining of your skin breaks down or the lining of your gut breaks down. And when that becomes pretty leaky, oh my goodness, it's so easy to have this constant inflammation or irritation in the brain. And so one thing that I want to say with psychoses or these events that happen or bipolar, they have a leaky blood-brain barrier, and you got to fix that.
Wow.
And so some of the ways that you would fix that is you've got to avoid foods that generate boatloads of inflammation. Now, this is just me recalling research, but I remember the year 1976. You know, that was our bicentennial of the, 200th birthday of our nation, which is pretty cool. But on that date, the National Institutes of Mental Health released a study, and they said there is absolutely no cases of people having schizophrenia when there's no consumption of wheat. And I thought to myself, is that actually true? And I started looking into it, and they showed that when people consume the most genetically modified wheat in their diet, they tend to have the most schizophrenia. I know you're not talking about schizophrenia.
Wow.
There's a guy here in Jacksonville that has schizophrenia. I like him, actually, because he always walks around behind my building. I get to visit with him. He usually is carrying on 3 conversations with himself. Sometimes he walks behind my back door and my patients say, "Who is that screaming, yelling?" I say, "Oh, that's Mr. So-and-so. He's just talking to himself. He has schizophrenia. He doesn't hurt anybody." But so I just want you to hold the idea that most likely they're eating something that's just completely counterproductive and it's generating inflammation. So you got to cut out wheat and sugar. You just have to.
Okie dokie. That's
And then you got to start feeding the brain. Anything to supplement with the system? Cod liver oil is going
to
be like a healthy fat for the brain. The brain seems to do really, really well. I mean, I don't. Maybe you heard me say this last week, but one of the newest studies showing that it removes inflammation from the brain is a spice called saffron. So in this one study, they took all these children that had horrific post-traumatic stress disorder. And so what happens is you're trying to get rid of all this inflammation in the brain. And saffron, it has this most unique ability to get rid of all the inflammation around your brain cells or your neurons. I'm telling you, this is a big, big, big deal. Now, there's one thing that I cannot mention to you on the air because it may be considered slightly illegal, but I have read so many anecdotal reports that somebody has bipolar. If they take this particular living extract that God designed and made, obviously, or He created it, that all of a sudden their bipolar starts to disappear and go away. The other thing that he needs, if it's a man, or is this a woman?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
If this is a man, he needs minerals. You've got to give him alkaline ash minerals. That means he's lacking magnesium and potassium, probably selenium.
Alkaline ash minerals, okay.
When they burn, they turn to an alkaline versus acid. So if I say wheat and sugar and Mountain Dew are pure acid substances, then that would be toxic to the body. You need more alkaline stuff.
So I do Himalayan salt, a bottle of Himalayan salt in a pint of water, and then take off the top, you know, shake it, let it dissolve and everything, and then I take off the top a spoonful and put it in my water.
Good.
Is that enough minerals?
Is that what you're giving to this young man?
No.
Okay, well, are we talking about him or you?
Him, but is that good enough for him?
That would be a start.
Okay, because I know I also have those squirt ones that come in the blue bottle.
I can tell you right now, when you look at the studies where they've done on human beings and they try to suck all the sodium out of them, they feel like they are going to die when the sodium is low. So if they put a human being on a sodium-restricted diet, they feel after 4 days, I can't go on, I want my mommy, I can't make it anymore, I'm suffering from severe depression and panic attacks. That's just with cutting the sodium out. And so I want everyone to remember this listening, because I think you're asking some very good questions, and I appreciate that. Without minerals, you cannot generate the electricity. Every cell in your body generates almost 4 volts of electricity. Maybe it's 3.95, I don't remember at this point. But you've got to have electrolytes. I don't think that most physicians really talk about electrolytes enough. Mm. I saw a man the other day. His sodium and chloride levels were super, super low. And I said, well, how do you feel? He said, I'm very discouraged. I'm very, very weak. I can't go on. Well, I'm going, now it makes sense. We've got to get those minerals back up. See, you start to lose your will to live and try when you're low in electrolytes.
So what minerals are you talking about? Like, I do have a bottle that you squirt like 10 drops in a glass of water and tastes horrible.
Well, and that's one way of doing it.
I can do it, but...
And so the simple minerals, I'm playing on what you said because I think it's really, really brilliant and smart. If you get like Celtic or Celtic salt or the pink Himalayan salt and you add that to like water and squeeze the juice of a lime or a lemon into it, I don't even care if you take like frozen organic Concord grape juice and stir 1 or 2 spoonfuls just to give it flavor, like you're making kind of like a weak grape-flavored Gatorade for yourself. That would be perfectly fine.
Okay.
And I'm not, at this point, I'm really not worried about a little bit of sugar from the grape juice because it's not going to taste that sweet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a really mineral-rich. But then the other thing that I want to really, really sell you on, if we could get the person... What you have to do is you have to avoid the very things that's causing the problem. That's usually wheat, corn.
Right.
Now, I know I'm jumping in different directions, forgive me, but I have seen so many people have psychoses when it's a corn allergy.
Oh.
So if I want to resolve these, I have got to do my job and tell them, hey, if you need something sweet, why don't we eat a bowl full of blueberries or cherries or cranberries, stuff like that.
Okay.
Or raspberries, blueberries, blackberries. You get the gist
mm-hmm.
of it. But
mm-hmm.
if you can be satisfied with that, or if we need to use maybe a little bit of monk fruit as a sweetener or a little bit of raw honey, those are all things that we can kind of negotiate.
Okay.
But we want to turn this around where this young man has a beautiful, wonderful life.
So your cod liver oil is...
That's food for the brain.
Okay. Is there any other... I have krill. I have wheat germ oil from
I'm suggesting cod liver oil. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think for this application, yeah. And if you can get a person to eat like fish from the ocean, whether that's halibut or salmon or sardines, that is that's a move in the right direction. But you've got to avoid the things, so sugar and grains.
Okay.
If you just did that one thing, just avoid sugar and grains. The other thing, it's called a neurotrophic factor. You get that from sunshine and vitamin D, or nerve growth factor. What we want is we want the brain repairing itself at a faster rate than what it is right now. But my interpretation is, if there's bipolar and psychosis, too much inflammation. Too much inflammation. So that's where curcumin and turmeric and green tea and even pomegranate. And when I said saffron earlier, I'm trying to recall the study the way that I read it. But in this study, there were all these children that have PTSD. Now, I don't know if you know anything about PTSD, but it completely alters the brain in a very, very negative way. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the kid's fault. It's never the kid's fault. But if kids happen to be born, you know what I had a woman tell me the day? She said, I was born in a crack house. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Now, she is absolutely the most wonderful, beautiful person of all time. I'm just... think she's fabulous, but sometimes when you're highly traumatized, we've got to do the process or go through the process of trying to repair all those neurons where there's holes in the brain and there's broken, you know, nerve endings. But saffron is proving to be extremely interesting. I actually took 2 capsules of saffron before I came on the air this morning. I'm just experimenting with myself. But it's just that common spice. If you walk down the aisle of the store and you see a box of saffron rice, it has a very yellow color to it, right?
Yes, he loves that.
It's kind of a pretty, pretty yellow color, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's very appealing. Are you kidding me? I would totally eat some saffron rice if it was in front of me.
Yeah, it's great with chicken.
Oh, you ain't a kidding, sister. And so we've got so many things to go through here, but the reason I said minerals is because one of the main treatments for bipolar is lithium carbonate. That's mineral therapy.
Okay.
And so when you look at studies of people as they're aging, if they're low in the element or the mineral lithium, then you see greatly reduced blood flow. And when you have reduced blood flow of the brain, that creates a very unique type of mental sluggishness where a person's very slow to answer or to think up something, which... I know you have talked to older people and you thought, man, they are just a little bit slow. Well, lithium is one of the things that when you give, and I think one of the supplements that I've used in the past, they just get, I think it's called the split pea, like split pea soup.
Yeah.
But they take the split pea and it's grown in dirt or field where they have plenty of lithium in the soil. Not too much, not too little, just Goldilocks just right. And when they give people this split pea in a capsule that contains lithium, guess what happens? Their blood flow throughout the brain improves. Now, I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I are in a plane and we're in Alaska and the plane loses its engine and we go down and crash land and we have to walk 75 miles back to civilization through the frozen Arctic tundra, I'm not saying I want to do that. But what type of water are you going to drink when you're thirsty? Are you going to walk up to the beaver pond and say, hey, Roy, here's beaver pond water. Let's drink this. I'm going to say, no. It's full of viruses and bacteria and parasites. Actually, it's probably swimming. If I took my microscope, I'd probably say, hey, look at this. There's protozoas everywhere. You want to get diarrhea? No. But if we found a mountain stream that was moving really fast and it's clear, so that's the same way that aging is or healing is. You've got to get blood flowing at a high rate of speed so the blood is clean, because your blood is what carries an ocean of nutrients. And so the other thing is the bipolar, they've done studies and show there's one thing that does just as good as medication does. It's called having a routine. So if this young man got up exactly at 6 o'clock every day and he went and he brushed his teeth and he drank a glass of water, then he went to the bathroom, then he cooked his breakfast, then he read his Bible, or then he studied something else, and then he exercised for 30 minutes. That routine right there is one of the best ways to rewire your brain towards success.
Great.
A positive daily routine does just as well as all the drugs they use for psychoses.
Exactly.
But I have seen many, many individuals with a bipolar. I've seen it just disappear when they get off wheat and sugar. I'm really not making that up. It's almost like magic.
Yeah, this is his livelihood. This is not his livelihood. This is his routine. This is his diet. Yeah. Yep. Okay, well, you have given us some great things to work with and move in a right direction. A little bit more clear for me now.
Well,
I've got it written
all,
down.
It's all doable, and I realize I can't
cover
every topic.
It's all very doable.
I mean, we're not trying to have like a 10-hour seminar on how to control bipolar or reverse it with natural methods, but this is a start in the right direction.
Definitely. All right, I will do this. And
okay.
When you say the Celtic salt and making the quote Gatorade, do you do it the same way as I was doing the Himalayan salt?
Well, you could use easily, if it was like a quart jar of water, you could add everything from like half a teaspoon to 1 teaspoon total. It'd be just fine.
Okay, half a teaspoon to 1 teaspoon.
Just think
of
how strong your arms and shoulders are going to be by stirring and stirring and stirring. So you can dissolve the salt.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I do this in the summertime, and my body, like, will crave it. I just, will have to have a couple of glasses of water with a teaspoon of salt in there.
Well, let me tell you.
And it's just that off the top.
As soon as you get off the air, I'm going to tell a story that happened to me yesterday, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank
Sounds
you.
Good. Okay, right, bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Donna told me the story. Now, I won't give you the entire background, but I'm going to say that there's a young girl. I don't know if she's either 18, 19, or 20. She's probably close to that age. If I get it wrong, forgive me. But she has a very, very significant form of autism where she just can't communicate. And so her communication is basically one word. She does not communicate in sentences. And so Donna's telling me that this young girl with autism has started the process of getting into a sauna, and they were maybe a little bit concerned, like how she's going to tolerate the heat, so they started out low, maybe 95 to 98 degrees, and they gradually increased it. And now I think she was saying they're getting up to like 125 degrees, where she sits in the sauna for maybe 30 minutes or an hour. I don't really remember what the time frame was. But Donna's telling me that all of a sudden, the girl is holding her face saying, and her mom's saying, "What's wrong, sweetheart?" And she said, "There's something wrong with my nose," or she said something like that. But she was telling me this is the very first time that she's ever spoken a complete sentence. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And Donna also told me that this girl with autism never perspires and never sweats. I don't know how many people have told me a story like this where they've used a sauna and all of a sudden they regain their ability to sweat and perspire. Well, what this means to you and to me is all of a sudden now the body is starting to detoxify. It's getting rid of the toxins that are completely interfering with, say, brain function. Does that make sense? The other day I was looking at this article on detoxification of mercury. Which I don't know if you know this, but mercury is one of the most toxic things to the brain and the nervous system of all time. So if I order a hair analysis on somebody to screen them for mercury, if it comes back that they have a significant amount of mercury, I'm thinking we need to do something to chelate this, get it out. But they compared intravenous chelation therapy. I think they're using a substance called EDTA to bind with the mercury so they could get it out of the body or pull it out that way, versus the use of a sauna. And the use of the sauna was vastly superior. It was like 300 times more effective at getting rid of mercury. So when you sweat and perspire, this is one of the ways that your body cleans itself. This is how your body heals. So to hear a story like that, that is just absolutely incredible. Talk about encouraging. You know, when you get into a sauna, you are purposely exposing your body to a thermal form of stress. It may not be super comfortable, but then again, who knows? Maybe you'll learn to like it because you have somebody in there that you can visit with and you can have your girl time visiting in a sauna. That's what some people do. But to make a long story short, when you expose your body to that infrared spectrum of light, all the toxic debris starts coming out. I mean, don't you sometimes fantasize about being outside with your shoes off, your feet are touching the earth or the dirt, and you're just working in the garden, and it gives you so much pleasure and satisfaction? I thought it was funny yesterday, but a woman named Pam, she was there with her husband. She was very sweet. That's the first time that I had met her. She looked at this book that I had on my countertop. She said, "You're a prepper, aren't you?" I said, "Why are you saying that?" "Because the book that I had is a new one that I felt like I needed to study plants with. It's about foraging plants. And that book so far has been very helpful because there's one plant that I keep seeing down by the creek, and I have wondered if it's edible. And this book, I forget the name of the plant, is saying, yeah, that was used a long time ago to make greens and salads." So, yeah, if you want to have health, you're going to have to put things in your body that are alive. That's one of the reasons why I like the raw sauerkraut or raw elements in nature that you can eat because they have this vital life force. The other story from yesterday that I thought was really cool, because initially it didn't work out so hot. I had a lady that came to see me that had this, she had what's called adhesive capsulitis, or she had a frozen shoulder. And she was showing me, she said, "I can't move my arm. It's painful all the time." And I said, "Okay, see if you can put your hand behind your back." And she couldn't do it. And so I know I'm telling you something that might be a little bit scary, but it shouldn't be scary. So when I examined the glenohumeral joint, I felt like it had a lot of scar tissue. And so it's my job to kind of chip it away and break it up where she can regain her ability to use the arm. And so I have this rubber mallet, and I have a wooden, I'm going to call it a wooden chisel just because it's rounded and it tends to work pretty well for what I want it for. But she let me kind of bang away on her shoulder. And when she walked in yesterday, she said, "Look at this." She said, "Oh my goodness." And she could completely move her arm again. So that was like a phenomenal story. She regained her ability to use her arm and shoulder the way that God intended it. Isn't that what healing is all about? Being able to regain your ability to move your body. And so it may not make logical sense, but you've got to believe what I'm saying. You are an athlete. You have to command and make your body do the very thing that you want. If you got to jump over a creek, jump over a creek. As soon as I say that, I'm thinking there's probably some people that should not attempt to jump over the creek or it's going to be a disaster. So, but yeah, the only way that you're going to get your body to heal is if you put forth the effort. Can you heal with drugs only? I'm not aware of any drugs that heal, with maybe one exception. If you have double pneumonia from a bacteria, hey, you might want to go to the medical doctor and get a prescription of antibiotics, as in very, very quickly and very fast. That might be the closest thing to a total cure that you're going to get. Now, I think if you've had antibiotics, we might want to do the good hard work of trying to repopulate your body with beneficial flora. That's your health. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's been a pleasure being with you today. I do want to thank each and every one that called this morning. You may not realize this, but when you ask questions, I think there's an opportunity to help just about every listener, and I try to put something in there. I think this Monday I will be at Breaking Bread giving a talk about a fatty liver from 12 to 1. It's been a pleasure being with you.